Blog Talk Radio.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Free company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
Leave a lovable space that needs your face. Free company too. Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous. Free company too.
Down at our rendezvous.
I'm the beast and the best in the world. Paul, say something stupid.
I look in the mirror and what do I see? Some kind of slacker looking back at me. Ain't nothing lost, can't be found, and it's never too late to change.
Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yes, dig it, yeah.
Edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. This is the last edition before the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio weekend bash, of course. Finally, we're all going to be together in the same place, besides Wednesday nights, of course, at the studio. But I am, of course, the host of the show. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. And again, the giggling, jolly man to my right is...
Hi, Dean. Nice to know you. I like touching you on the shoulder every week.
Indeed. Now, you are, of course, Dan, the man, the above-average comedian, Dan Pellicino.
I have two Dans in my name now. Find me on Twitter at DanLoy83.
And to my left, it is our MMA pro wrestling analyst. It is Omega Squad Chris Green. How are you tonight, sir?
I am just brimming with excitement of the coming weekend.
Oh, this weekend. Starts out on Friday. Let's talk about it now.
It ends Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
No. It starts out Friday night. Ring of Honor in Northeast Philadelphia at the Armory. Down the road from Trevo's. It's going to be exciting. There's going to be a new Ring of Honor champion crowned, and I'm looking forward to that. Adam Cole could be one of the four men to win that title. Also, Michael Elgin, Tommaso Ciampa, and I forget the fourth guy. But I'm sure I'll be up to speed by Friday, excited for that man's chances. Saturday, we are filming a commercial that's off. The public is not invited to that. We're going to be filming a commercial. That's going to be exciting as well. Dan, yeah, your thoughts on the upcoming commercial?
Oh, it's going to be fabulous.
Should be absolutely fabulous.
Looking forward to getting abused again. Don't know why I decide to do this, but yeah.
Abused and humiliated.
Know your role, Dan.
Then,
okay,
after that,
Mike.
We are going to have the Hell in the Cell Talk Radio Fan Appreciation Summit Symposium, of course.
Invite only.
Yes. Invite only, which means no Joe Hale.
I'm glad you pointed out the big elephant in the fans.
No Joe Hale. I don't think the man knows how to listen to Blog Talk Radio, quite frankly.
Okay, sure. We'll go with that.
So I don't think he's one of our biggest supporters. This is a thank you to our biggest supporters, those that tweet us and give us, you know, little pats on the back from them.
Papadon should come.
No,
he shouldn't. No, you're right. He shouldn't. No.
Papadon just abuses us.
Yeah, no Papadon.
Right, wait, he hit you?
Yes, through the phone. Now,
yeah, that's very true.
That, of course, will be George Burr will be joining us, and Bill Olson. No, Mama Burr.
No Mama Burr?
Mama Burr cannot make it, but she will be joining us for the rest of the fun. Of course, New Moon Rising Wrestling presents PG-13. It should be rated R with the amount of violence you're going to see that night.
Sure.
And then we have an after party after the excitement.
Where we're all going to pay $10 and watch the end of UFC.
Not the end of UFC. As soon as the final bell is rung, pack up. Let's go.
Okay.
We're not going to have this shenanigans like most months where we're there till 3 o'clock in the morning, jovial and discussing our days, deciding where to eat. That's
That'll take at least a half hour. I'm not going to a freaking Denny's again.
No, that's why we're going to the after party. We're going to watch UFC and have a good time that way.
Woo-hoo!
UFC 165, of course, Omega and I will discuss that a little bit later on. It's a big light heavyweight match coming up.
And a big featherweight match.
What's a featherweight?
Or bantamweight, I should say.
What's a bantamweight?
Henan Burrell versus Eddie Wineland.
That's right. Two championships. I totally forgot. It's big.
It's huge.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you saw the commercial UFC
put
out. But it's big. That's their tagline for this. Then Sunday, we're all going to get together,
have breakfast, tell Chris to go home, and I'm going to go take a nap.
I'll never come back.
You'll be back, I'm sure.
Next year, we're all dead.
I'm sure. But that's the weekend coming up. It's going to be exciting, to say the least.
It's going to be interesting.
Now, tonight, we have a few guests. To talk about, Dan. The first guest has been announced, and people have known it's part of our On Point-a-Palooza WrestleFest.
WrestleFest-a-mania.
But it's part of that. We got Pinky Sanchez here. We're going to talk about his career. We're going to talk about why he hates Loudy and Drew Blood. And
we have to ask him about that?
We're going to figure it all out.
I can tell you why I hate Loudy.
Why do you hate Loudy?
He keeps talking about my cheeks.
Oh. Okay.
He has no neck.
No, he has a neck. He just can't move it properly.
He doesn't move it. Oh,
that's the difference contained here. Now,
that's okay, I'm fluffy. He's got one back on me.
Now, we're also going to be discussing PG-13 with one of the 10 announced competitors.
Well, that'll take 5 minutes because there's no matches.
There are matches, Dan. You don't have your finger on the pulse of exactly what's going on. If you were to go to the event page, Dan, you would see there are two matches that are announced for PG-13.
Oh,
besides
PG-13. Never mind. Never mind. What are the matches, Dean? We'll talk about that later. You have to listen to Hell in a Cell to find out. Do you like that? That was good.
If you think so.
No.
If you feel good about it, sure, Dan.
Really don't feel good about anything.
Dan.
Depressed.
Why are you depressed, Dan? Let's talk about that. Let's figure out what's wrong.
I hurt my foot.
You hurt your foot?
Yeah.
And that depresses you. Why did? How did you hurt your foot, Dan?
I don't know. I'm fat. I really don't know how I hurt my foot. It won't stop hurting.
Okay, so you hurt your foot. You don't know how.
I really don't. Actually, I was kidding, but if you want to admit, I really did hurt my foot. It hurts like hell, and I have no idea how. And it won't not swell. Well, the swelling won't go down.
I mean, Dan, this is, you know, I figured this is what you wanted to talk about. You know, you're depressed. So let's examine that, Dan, until we're joined by Pinky Saint.
Let's move on, Dean. I think it's a good idea.
No.
Really. Depressed. Seriously.
I want to know.
For real.
I want to know. Just saying. I don't know.
I'm depressed because Star Trek 2 doesn't have any extras on the Blu-ray.
Really?
No. It also doesn't have much of a plot, but that's okay.
Hey! Con, buddy.
It was a bad con.
There's a double meaning there, see?
Yes.
Waka waka.
Ah, I see what you did there.
See what I did there?
I have no idea what anybody did there.
It's a con and C-O-N con. Because Chris is clever.
If you both seem to think so, sure.
I'm voting for I'm clever. Dan?
I'm voting for he's clever.
I'm voting for... I'm abstaining the vote.
Okay.
There
I'm abstaining.
Motion is carried.
Motion is carried. So what do you guys want to talk about right now? Do you want to talk about the pay-per-view over the weekend? I think that was noteworthy. Daniel Bryan winning the title, stripped the next night. What do you guys think?
I thought I was watching Nitro. It was Chris Benoit all over again.
Well, there was a fast count involved here, Dan.
It reminded me of Starrcade 97.
Really?
But through all this hype, Sting and Hogan, Sting's finally going to come back into the ring. Wrestle against Hogan, right?
Well, that was months and months of anticipation for that.
Right.
This was only a month.
Right, what I'm saying.
But besides that, go ahead.
The match goes on.
Yeah.
Hogan beats him soundly for a 1-2-3,
well,
and then Bret Hart claims a fast count.
And again, there was a fast count in this case, whereas Nick Patrick did not make a fast count. So I'm not sure where the similarities are here, Dan.
Yeah, it made sense in my head at the time. But honestly, I didn't think of that.
There's absolutely no similarities to your comparison.
You know what? I'm going to go and start again.
That'd be great. You know, let's push the reset button for Dan.
Hold on a second.
How did you feel about it, Chris? Did you see the pay-per-view?
I didn't see the pay-per-view. I did not. So I didn't see the fast count, and I didn't actually see Raw this week, but...
Oh, you would have watched Raw. You would have seen it like 15 more times.
Yeah, I should have. I don't know. I mean, it seems like a good way to keep the quote-unquote feud going, even though I'm not terribly interested in the feud per se, other than I want Daniel Bryan to be the champion for some period of time. And the faceplates on his belt are ugly. Just saying.
The faceplate on whose belt?
On Bryan's. When the faceplate's on the WWE title.
Oh, really?
They
changed the faceplates?
Yeah, they have the title, the main title thing with the W on it, right?
Yeah.
And then on the sides, they have two interchangeable little circles that are customized for each champion.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
So John Cena had "You Can't See Me." Yeah, because it started with The Rock. The Rock had the Brahma Bull.
Okay.
On the sides. And then when Cena won it, it had the "You Can't See Me" thing on the sides.
And then when it had Boring Orton, it had like a viper.
Yeah, they had the design that's on his t-shirt, the snake and the RKO. And, you know, Daniel Bryan's, I mean, those were okay because those were like, they were in the same color as the belt. You know, they were the same metal color as the belt.
Yeah.
So they made sense. But the Daniel Bryan's are like painted red. And it's got like an arm up. It's got the arms up, and it just says yes, yes, yes on it. So
yeah, they're fine.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter now, but yeah. But I didn't care for it. But
well,
we're killing time, so I brought it up.
Yeah. We'll talk more about Dusty, the Dusty situation later on. I thought that was an interesting thing that happened there. Dusty would not choose between his children.
I would have picked Cody.
Me too.
Yeah. Not Goldust.
Why not Goldust?
Now, credit to Goldust, he did have a great match last week.
Yes, he did. Well, he's still very active on the independents.
Yeah, he just had a match with Papa Don, what was it, Saturday?
Saturday night.
Yeah.
He just had a match with Papa Don.
I said that, Dean.
I was repeating it.
Oh.
I thought it deserved more emphasis.
I mean, Papa Don had a match with Goldust.
Not that much emphasis.
Oh.
Too much. Back it up. Okay, there you go.
Sorry. Papa Don had a match with Goldust.
There you go.
Well, that, good job. Better. A bit better.
The whole time I was thinking, well, I like Cody. Dust is all kind of effed up. Cody, yeah, I pick Cody. Don't punch me in the face, please.
Well, Dusty, of course, was KO'd by the Big Show. So what eventually is going to happen? Let's just discuss this right now. What eventually is going to happen with this Dusty and...
I think Big Show's going to turn around and punch Stephanie in the face.
I thought it was going to happen yesterday.
I can't wait for that moment. Boom, right in the face.
Are you guys enjoying this new version of the McMahon-Helmsley era?
Actually, yeah, I am.
Yeah, I don't mind. I like Stephanie. Stephanie's work has been solid.
Yeah,
very
like
solid.
Too. Yeah.
Triple H is just... Triple H kind of annoys me a little bit.
Well,
but, I mean, it's Triple H. You know, but Triple H, he's doing the same shtick he does every time he's a heel, which is fine, because he's good on the mic. He is, yeah. You know. If I had to have someone on the mic, Triple H is a good choice. I don't know. I don't really care for it. But, I mean, I really like the way Stephanie McMahon has really stepped up and her game, I mean, at least as an on-screen talent, which, you know, and of course she hasn't been around in recent years, so we haven't gotten sick of her. So maybe it's just refreshing from that angle.
That very well could be true.
Much better to look at than Triple H.
Oh, yes. I agree.
I hope you would say that, Dan.
Well, thank you.
Anything else noteworthy from the pay-per-view? Paul Heyman, Ryback, together now?
I still don't care about Ryback. I don't think even Heyman can help that dude.
Really?
Oh, no. He got Heidenreich pushed.
Heidenreich. Oh, geez, I forgot about him.
Never mind, I take that back. Heidenreich was in the Legion of Doom for like 5 seconds.
No, you forget the Heidenreich and Snitsky collation that they had at that Royal Rumble. That was amazing, quite frankly. I was a big Snitsky fan. You can ask Omega about the early days of Hell in a Cell.
Hey, Omega, tell me about the early days of Hell in a Cell and Dean's love of Snitsky.
No, Snitsky, I truly believe he could have saved this era of professional wrestling that we're currently in. Snitsky, if pushed properly, would have been the biggest star of this era. Not John Cena, Gene Snitsky from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Are you screwing with me or are you serious?
He was actually talking up Snitsky several years ago. to what I couldn't figure it out, but he was.
Okay. Come on. Snitsky did solid work. Can we agree on that?
Van Hammer did solid work. He still sucked.
He worked with his gimmick. He lived his gimmick.
He kicked a baby.
I wouldn't call his work awesome, but I mean, he was okay.
He didn't say awesome. He said solid. And even that's too much.
Solid is still pushing it in my book.
Again,
what's the definition of solid?
It was very solid in-ring work, very good promos. The man could have been a superstar. I'm talking WWE champion, lengthy reign.
You're on crack.
No.
You are on crack.
You know how solid in-ring work? Scotty Riggs. He still sucked. The list goes on.
But let's get to the crux of the matter here, guys.
Go for it.
Let's get to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is that Snitsky is still very active in WXWC4. That is, of course, up in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I'll tell you what, he's been champion there, and it's been very successful. A lot of money is being made with the Snitsky name. That's all I'm going to say.
A lot of money is being made with the Snitsky name.
Mm-hmm. this man.
You hear that, DJ Hein?
This man. Well, hey, I mean, there's a connection there. Maven Bentley is the guy who promotes WXW along with Sam from over there. So there's a connection there. There is a connection there. I'd love to see it. Frankly, I would.
Snitsky.
Snitsky!
Do you still have hair?
It grew back. It did grow back. Last time I saw him at Sports Fest a year ago, he...
Is that hair or nerve endings, Dean?
It's hair.
No. Scott Norton. There. I'd go pay to see him as champ.
What?
Scott Flash Norton.
No, not at all.
See? Right. That's why I disagree with you. I think Scott Flash Norton was... Snitsky was as good as Scott Norton to me.
No, you are completely wrong.
I'm not wrong. That's my opinion. You can't say somebody's opinion is wrong, Tony Lane.
You can.
You can't.
Your opinion is...
You have no fact to back yours up that I'm any wronger than you.
I'll tell you this
he's
much.
He's the IWGP. He's a former IWGP heavyweight champion.
Okay, so he drew in Japan. He didn't draw a dime here. Snitsky did. Yeah, Snitsky did.
All right, I'll give you
that. Did Snitsky ever sell a t-shirt? Tell me that. Now, he did have it.
Yeah,
not
God,
my
fault. Yes, he did, because I have it.
Yeah, you
it wasn't my fault. Come on.
Scott Norton sold a t-shirt.
That should have been the biggest catchphrase post-Austin. That's all I'm saying.
By the way, if you guys want to see something clearly, really, really funny... Look, you remember the game WCW Nitro and Thunder?
Yeah.
For the PlayStation? You gotta look up Scott Norton's rant. It's hilarious.
Now take your word for it.
Oh my God.
I'll certainly take your word for it. What I'm gonna do right now is play
Please
a little...
Please tell me Pinky's on.
No, I'm gonna play a little Mystery Men.
Damn.
And we'll be back after this. You know what? Which one, Dan? Which one do we like the most?
Set the Faders or Miles Davis.
Nah, Blood Will Flow.
No! You asked me!
Yeah, too bad.
Mystery Men.
All right, that was Blood Will Flow by the Mystery Men. And of course, they will have... They will be having their CD release party on Sunday.
Oh, what is the name of the place again? Brighton Beach Bar.
No, just Brighton Bar.
Oh, Brighton Bar.
Yes, just the Brighton Bar. Don't go to Brighton Beach.
No, don't go there. That's in there. Yeah. No, Freddie Mercury's there.
You don't want to do that. Mm-mm. There was quite a theme there back in the day. But enough of that.
You don't say.
Heard Elton John was quite the man there, if you know.
Hold me closer, tiny dancer.
Now, anyway, we're not talking about tiny dancers. We're talking about men who like to hit each other. Omega, are you ready?
Hi. I am ready. From beautiful Atlantic City, New Jersey, World Series of Fighting returned. And I'll tell you what a card it was if you are a sadomasochist. Because, my goodness, the commercial breaks, they don't know how to put, I don't know what it is. It's really hard to get through a World Series of Fighting card. It's not very viewer friendly.
Sorry.
Well, they do the same thing in the Olympics, and so NBC has the Olympics, but they commercials everywhere. They're really bad about it. They really try to get the timing down to fill the entire slot they allot instead of for example with the UFC if they have time they'll show another fight on the undercard. I think NBC just kind of plucks whatever in. They have a bunch of video packages and just plunk them in until you get bored and want to shoot yourself.
Oh, I made the decision. I made the decision that I was going to watch this. I wanted to see the spectacle and the fact that Bill Bookwater, MMA official, that we actually interviewed a few weeks back, he was actually on the card. It looks like officially... by Sure Dog, he officiated over two fights. One of them was televised. It was interesting to see. He was involved in one of the knockouts. We'll talk about that in a minute, because I understand you didn't see the entire card, Omega.
No, I didn't. I forgot to set my DVR, so.
Ugh.
Terrible. Terrible. The
terrible person. Wait, what channel was that on?
NBC.
NBC Sports Network.
I think I might have watched. There was something on this weekend that I watched parts of. I watched the fight. I have no idea who was in it. Because then hockey was on. Sorry, guys. Sorry, boys.
Yeah. We know where your loyalties lie.
Is it WFE? Damn it.
Well, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about currently.
Well, that's what I was asking. Was that possibly what I was watching?
It's possibly. World Series of Fighting, WSOF.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying is I stopped to watch it, and the only reason why I stopped because I was actually into it was because hockey. Sorry.
Okay.
Hey.
With that said, with Dan's expert analysis on the situation, moving right along, now, Derek Meeman, I'll tell you what, he had a heck of a knockout against Holes Gracie, and let me tell you, my friend, he did the flare flop on it. Poor Bill Bookwater. Did you see there's actually a meme of it right now where he got hit with a big overhand right. Down he goes, knocked out, flare flop, 240 in the second round. But that was fun to watch. You didn't see it, though, did you?
I did not see it, no.
But you know what? Bill Bookwater, he did get over there, stopped it before any further damage was made. So, but a Gracie was knocked out. That's big news.
Yeah, well, I saw this week that that Hoist Gracie came out and basically bashed this generation of Gracies and their fighting abilities.
I heard that as well. Go into a little detail about that because I feel that's an interesting story. And I didn't have a chance to read it.
I haven't had a chance to fully read it either. But I saw it.
So prepared, aren't we?
I know. We're doing good this week. We're just so excited for this weekend. We haven't done our work.
I think that's what it could be.
I don't even know who you guys are.
Who are you guys again? I think it was just – I just happened to see it mentioned. But, I mean, in fairness, the Gracies of this generation have not really done much. You think about the Gracies. You think about their world-class Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And they are the ones that really brought Brazilian jiu-jitsu to mixed martial arts, really – almost created mixed martial arts in itself. But, you know, in this time period, in the modern era of MMA, you cannot survive with just good Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Everybody who is fighting now has trained Brazilian jiu-jitsu. They know how to counter stuff. And if you don't have good striking, you don't have good wrestling, you don't have good takedown defense, you're going to get finished. And that sounds like precisely what happened this weekend to Holes Gracie.
Oh, that is what happened. Now, the thing is, he came out with a very good stand-up game. He won that first round. He really did, because he was – everybody was saying his Brazilian jiu-jitsu, watch out for it, that he's going to take Meeman down to the ground and do this and do that. He didn't. He came out and was standing with him, and he successfully won that first round, very aggressive, stood his ground, outstruck Meeman, but you know only took a matter of time. Only took a matter of time, and Meeman he in my eyes he had the standout fight for World Series of Fighting. Now there was also Pillgate. Now you read up on this one, right?
Yes.
Now basically what happened somewhere along the line in the locker room. Now, who were the people involved? Because I don't have that information in front of me currently.
Yeah, I gotta pull that up. I can't even pronounce this one. That's how bad I'm this week. I can't even pronounce stuff this week.
Oh.
Mutapasic and Taylor.
Yes. Yes. Now, it was the first guy.
Yes, it was Elvis Mutapasic.
Yes, it was in his locker room. One of the cornermen apparently had some prescription drugs. They weren't checked in with the New Jersey State Athletic Commission. And an official was back there, saw these pills, brought it to the attention of of the commissioner that happened to be there, and they threw that fight out. Pillgate was born. Now, Elvis says he didn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't popping the pills, which I find kind of ironic, frankly. But Elvis was not popping the pills. He said it was his quarterman. However, the New Jersey State Athletic Commission came out and said, hey, it doesn't matter. You're responsible for your quarterman. Am I correct in summarizing what you know about it?
That is my understanding as well. And quite frankly, the Athletic Commission acted as they should have. Those are the rules. Every fighter knows the rules going in, and the fighter is responsible for his corner man. He can't say, things are going to happen. Everybody is their own person, and people can make mistakes. But the fact of the matter is the fighter is responsible for his corner man. He's responsible for getting the right corner man who know the rules and who know what is not allowed in the locker room area. And undeclared prescription medication of any sort is quite frankly illegal, and they should know that. I mean, this is a sport that has really tried to get serious on performance enhancing drugs, and that includes other non performing things like painkillers and things of that nature. And you don't know what's in the pills. It could be an illegal substance for whatever reason. So they have to enforce that rule.
Now, you say the pills were lying around. I mean, did he have a bag of pills sitting out on a bench in the locker room, or
it was six
on top of the
six different pills in a bottle? Six different types. There's actually a picture of it you can find.
Jesus.
Yeah. But
that's bad news, man.
Well, but Elvis was saying it wasn't his. It was the guy has a heart condition or something. His corner had a heart condition. I don't know.
Well, quite frankly, that's fine, and he very well may be telling the truth. But again, his responsibility is it falls on him. He's the one that has to go in to the cage. He's the one that has to follow the rules, not the cornerman. I mean, the cornerman has to follow the rules, but the cornerman doesn't feel the impact. He's not the one that gets punished if everything's not right. So the fighter has to take at least some responsibility. Now, I know a fighter going into the fight, what's in the cornerman's bucket of stuff is probably the least thing on your mind when you're going in to fight a guy who's looking to punch you in the face. But those are the way the game is played.
Well, I feel bad for Taylor. Of course, he was in a training camp for 10 weeks, and it's all for naught. Now, did he win this fight by disqualification, or what exactly happened?
No, the fight was just canceled.
Okay, so it's thrown out. They're going to have this fight later on the road. I believe that's what Seppo said.
Yeah, I imagine they'll just redo the fight in wherever the next fight is, the next time, next World Series of Fighting.
October 26th.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they'll just put it on that card or a future card. I'm sure they'll just have the fight probably on October 26th.
Yeah, I certainly do agree with that. Now, of course, the main event, why everybody tuned in. Or not.
Really?
Yeah. Andre Arlovsky making his return against Mike Kyle. Now, look, Arlovsky has accomplished more than most people. Granted, that was a different era of MMA. But he was successful in his return, bringing his record up to 20-10. Mike Kyle, his record goes down to 20-10. He wins by unanimous decision. He won all three rounds on the judges' scorecard. No, he didn't. It was 29-28.
It was 29-28.
Yeah, 29-28, unanimous decision. He did lose that last round. He kind of was a little bit gassed, but he looked in really better shape than he has recently. Your thoughts on that?
I guess he looked better in that he took a punch and didn't immediately crumple, except for that first knockdown early in the fight. the one thing I noticed in that fight was Arlovsky looked noticeably bigger in this fight. Looked, I don't know if he was actually stronger because he wasn't able to put Kyle out. I think overall I thought the fight was kind of, I mean, the announcers played it up as being a great fight. Orlovsky played it up as being a great fight. I was just there, in my opinion.
Oh, it was. It was very, very blasé.
It was, yeah, very middle of the road. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. Neither guy really seemed to be able to get anything going, to swing any momentum.
Nobody was really in trouble, per se.
Yeah, nobody was really in trouble. There were some flash things where they could have been in trouble, but for whatever reason, both guys didn't seem to engage very well when they had the opportunities. They just kind of played it safe, it seemed to me. And I'm not going to say Orlovsky cruised the decision. It was fairly close, but, you know, I wouldn't call it anything of consequence. But, you know, Orlovsky did look better. Yes, he looked better. He looked, as I said, he looked bigger. He looked, you know, somewhat crisper. But, I mean, is he a top 15 fighter? No.
Oh, no, no. Well, in heavyweight, possibly, do you think?
I mean, heavyweight's pretty thin, but...
That's what I'm saying.
I can't even think that, really. I don't really think so. He didn't show me anything in that fight that leads me to believe he's a top 15 fighter.
I agree with that. I certainly do. But it was good seeing Orlovsky not be knocked into next week.
As you said, he's already accomplished... He's already accomplished the pinnacle of the sport. He's been UFC heavyweight champion. Granted, that was 6-7 years ago, and that's fine. But you can't take it away from him. He was a multiple-time UFC champion.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't even think this performance would put him back into, hey, let's get him back into UFC.
No, absolutely not. I mean, he's never going to be a Hall of Famer, but... I mean, good. If he can rack up wins and still look good, then I have no problem with him fighting.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, of course, this weekend we have UFC 165. It will be part of our after party, and it's coming from Toronto, Canada. Always a great crowd. Let's start out. Do you see anything on that preliminary card, Omega? Anything actually, I don't see much of anything on the preliminary card myself, but perhaps you being the analyst, you might see something that jumps out at you.
If you want to look at the Facebook prelims, you got Alex Caceres, you know, Bruce Leroy. He's always just an interesting fight to me. I don't think he's got any real threatening skills, but I mean, I just like to see if he every once in a while he brings out something and actually looks good, and then he next fight he just kind of crumbles, but that's more of a train wreck type interest. But you do have guys like Miles Jury, who's 12-0, going up against Mike Ricci. I think that's a good fight. Jury has some really good. He's on a roll. Obviously, 12-0. He's had three fights in the UFC, 3-0. Picked up a win versus Ramsey the Gem last April. Is he a contender somewhere down the road for the lightweight title? I don't know. He's still young. He's still got time. He's not a top 10 fighter yet, but I mean, I think he's one to watch with his skills and with his record. And other than that, no, there's not anything to Ivan Menjivar is always a good fight at bantamweight. He's coming off a loss to Uriah Faber. Is he going to be able to bounce back from that and reestablish himself at bantamweight? He's still in that top 10 of the bantamweight, so he may be able to get some momentum going there. There's a couple of fights here that are probably important to the rankings, but not necessarily of great interest to MMA fandom overall, at least the casual fandom.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Go ahead. Do you have anything else to expound upon, hopefully?
On the prelims?
Okay, let's start.
I thought we were going on to the main card.
Yes,
okay.
Let's go on to the main card. We got Pat Healy taking on my favorite guy, Omega.
Your favorite guy? Oh, Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Exactly. He's right.
He's your favorite guy you can't pronounce.
Okay, tonight. I swear, if I don't... thank God for gun control, because if I had one, you would hear an on-air suicide. But anyway...
Seriously, you and I both would just do it together in stereo. Fast Count Starcade. What was I thinking?
Shut up, Dan. Now, what I'd like to do now, Chris, this is why I was a little out there during your beautiful discussion about the preliminaries.
Yeah, thanks for the help.
I'm sorry. But we have tracked down Pinky Sanchez. And right. Pinky Sanchez will be coming on after we play his theme music. And I'll tell you what, he On Point Wrestling, it's coming up very soon. Coming up in 1 week. It's 1 week away on the 28th. Pinky Sanchez, of course, involved in a six-man tag. Highly entertaining wrestlers on one side. They don't have a tag team partner at this point. Taking on Pink. We'll have Pinky talk about it. But after his music. It is none other than Pinky Sanchez. How are you doing tonight, Pinky?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I think we have a bad connection.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Well, let's listen to the song. There he is.
Are you there, Pinky?
Yeah, I'm right here, man.
All right, Pinky, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Doing good, man. That music got me pumped, man. I love that song. I never get tired of that song ever. For the past 10 years of my career.
Now, are you ready? Of course.
Wait, guys. Come on, guys. This song, man. I wish I could hear that song every day of my life. When I wake up, that'd be an awesome, that'd be a great ringer. When I get text messages, they just play the whole thing over.
I started to get upset when it started to fade out. I was like, wait a minute, there's more.
Yeah. I think we should just play that song again, guys.
Hey, I'm down for it. Here we go. It's Pinky Sanchez's music. Hey, Mickey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good money for, damn it.
Now, Pinky, I'm gonna. I know you got a good vibe going right now.
Oh, definitely.
It's 4:20 somewhere. That's what I'm saying. But Pinky, Pinky, let me just say that something that may just piss you off. I'm talking about Drew Blood. Drew Blood? What? Why Drew Blood? Why are you so upset with this guy?
Why am I so mad at Drew Blood?
Yeah.
I think what started off as friendly competition got really, 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 really bitter. Just friendly competition just turned into a bitter rivalry. We had a lot of unfinished business in another company. I just think that we're just two dudes that are just never gonna get tired of kicking the crap out of each other, and this can only lead to the crescendo, if you will, one time. It's only gonna end in one of us dying.
Really?
You know,
it's that serious.
It's as serious as pro wrestling gets.
Dan, I'm sure
I think we're just two dudes that know that when we go out there, you know, we steal the show, man, and you know, we just, who's better, him or me? Who's the guy? Who's the top dude? You know, him or me? And I think it's just one of those things that's not going to end until one of us is in the grave.
Do you think that's what you're going to have to do? Is you're going to have to literally either he's going to have to end your career, or you're going to have to end his?
I think so, man. I think so. It's either it's going to end ugly, man. And now it's like you got his people from his area, Philly, and then I'm bringing my boys from New York, and we're just adding more fuel to the fire, man. It's going to be one of those little throwbacks to the days of Homicide versus Trentacid and Philly versus New York, New York versus Philly, and I just don't think it's ever going to end, man. It's as serious as war gets in the wrestling game, man, and I think that's what's missing. There's no real like feuds out there, man. And me and Drew Blood are just it's like Pac and Biggie, man. You know, it's who's better, you know. And obviously, I know I'm the better man, but I just don't think people like Drew Blood in the state of Philadelphia understand that.
Now, I mean, is it to a point now that you guys have fought so many times that you both know each other too well, and
it's
hard to end this thing? I mean, if you know somebody so well, it's good. It's hard to get one up on the other guy.
It definitely is, man. I just don't know how to. I just don't know how or when it's gonna end. But I've been trying to end it, man. And it seems just like whenever one of us has the one up on each other, there's always a surprise coming, you know. And I think that's what the fans, you know. I honestly don't think the fans want to see it end, you know. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's gonna end, and it's gonna end soon, man. Because I got plans to make Drew's life a living hell as long as he shows his face, you know, across the ring from me, man.
Why did you have to attack Loudy?
Because Loudy is just, you know, Loudy's just scum, man, you know, and he's just, you know, he's Little Money. His name's Little Money, you know, and he just needs to realize that he should never have gotten in this into this business, but he should never have gotten in my business, man, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's just, you know what, man, behind every little short little dwarf, you know, mean, angry little dwarf, there's another equally angry, just as shorter dwarf, and that's Loudy and Drew Blood in a nutshell.
Oh, what do you have against, do you have anything against Xavier? I mean, is he just basically...
Xavier Cross is just a weirdo. He just rubs me the wrong way. This whole Fabulous thing, man, you know, it's just like... horrible, man. It's like wrestlers are supposed to be, you know, I don't know any wrestler, or I don't respect any wrestler that sits down in a chair and lets Korean ladies give him a manicure on his toes or a pedicure, whatever you want to call it. No man should be as pretty as a girl. That's the proof.
I mean, is he collateral damage at this point, or do you have something to prove?
I think he pretty much, honestly, the day he decided to put himself in the business, he became a little more than collateral damage, man. He became damaged goods.
Uh-huh.
He's Rick Moranis, and I'm the lawnmower. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That's good.
Done.
That's good.
He's Rick Moranis.
He's Rick Moranis.
And I am the lawnmower.
I'm the lawnmower.
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything special planned, or is this just going to be a brawl?
It's going to be, you know, I'm not going to divulge those cons. I'm not going to divulge my game plan, because that would just be silly going in there and telling, you know, my enemies, my strategy. But I will say it's going to be me, the Funky Monkey Angel Ortiz, who is the champion over at the Ludus Fest. Not the Fighting Spirit Wrestling Champion, you know. So he's the top guy there. And Fighting Spirit Championship Wrestling, their school, the Ludus, ran by Joel Maximo, a dude that has more than welcomed me into his dojo for me to go there and work out and make myself better. And, you know, Funky Monkey Angel Ortiz, you know, he is as good as I'm saying he is, and more, man. And me and him are gonna show those two what we're gonna show those three what we're about. And we're bringing along a little nice little wild card, the Caveman, and that is one word, the being one word, and then the, and then Caveman being one word, Caveman, like Saul Caveman. Caveman, like Saul Caveman.
What?
Okay, but I hate to cut you off, Pinky.
No problem.
I hate to cut you off, but I have a caller, and I know who it is. I hope you don't get mad at me, but here is the financial miracle, Loudy. Loudy, how are
Hello,
you tonight?
Hello, Pinky Sanchez. How
hey.
Are you?
How are you? Since I crushed your guts months
Listen,
ago. I heard you got.
I'm not okay. I'm not okay.
I heard you
okay.
had a pretty you, big. I heard you had a pretty big hospital bill.
I did have quite a large hospital bill, but the common man would be worried about it. But I wrote that off with a quick pin strike. But here's the deal, Sanchez. You can come over this Hell in the Cell radio and brag. You know, you stole my caveman, okay? You stole my caveman, and. It's kind of funny, you stealing my caveman, because what you did is you gave me the power again, Pinky. You see, now you have to worry about HEW and the almighty question mark. You hear that, Dean? We hold the question mark now. Who is the mystery partner? Who is it?
Loudy? We have you on.
Ask your question. Is it Mike Tyson?
Is it Mike Tyson? You know what? I wish it was, because he would knock you out. Chuck Norris? No, both of them were unavailable for you, I heard.
is it Satan himself? Because if it ain't, I don't think I'm worrying.
Listen,
a little bit, man.
I promise you, you should be worried, because there's a couple things you need to know, Sanchez. One, you put me through a lot of pain in the last show, and it really got on my nerves. And two... Drew Blood owns you. Drew Blood has your number. I know Drew's listening out there right now. Hey, Drew, listen to this. Drew's better than Pinky on any day of the week.
Oh.
On September 28th, he's going to get you again. He beat you twice in one night, didn't he?
No. You know what, man? Yeah,
what?
Man. You know what? Yeah, he beat me twice in one night, man. But he cheated, so it's not really...
I would have to see the video of it. I'm not sure if there was any cheating involved.
Oh, they definitely were.
Sure.
Both my nuts will tell you otherwise.
But, you know, it's a shame Mike Drastek's hurt. I was really looking forward to working against him, but he's hurt. And, you know, a little birdie told me, though, you know, you're not in the best of shape either there, Mr. Pinky.
I'm in the prime of my life, hurt or not.
Oh,
one
hurt
hand,
or
two
not.
Hands. One hand, two hands, three hands, no hands.
Well, no hands,
I have
I think
to
we
kick
would
you. If I have to kick you guys to death, that's what I'll do, man.
See, Pinky, the only thing good about you is that you bring an excitement to On Point Wrestling. I'll give the devil his due. You do bring some excitement to the ring, but at the end of the night on the 28th, we're gonna get to pick your opponent for next month. And oh my God, do I have some? I have so many people in store for you. You know,
Loudy, I'm not.
What's that? You're not scared?
No, I'm not available that month, Loudy.
You're not okay. Well, you know what, Fluffy Man? I'll cross you off my list, but you are number one. I will. That is a scoop that everyone just heard. Fluff Man, you're off the list.
Thank God.
So Fluff Man is Pinky. Off the list. Who is a possible? I'm sorry to cut you off, Loudy, but who is a possible? Who could you pick? Who could be on your side for this huge clash coming up at On Point Wrestling?
Honestly, the list down the street of people that would want to take out Pinky Sanchez goes mile long. He's not a quote-unquote liked very much. But I enjoy Pinky's antics sometimes. You know, I'm looking forward to – I just can't wait to the 28th when all you people out there in On Point Nation stare at the curtain and I go, look at this. And a new member of HEW comes strolling to the ring and everyone goes, wow. And then Pinky goes – where did he come from? That's what it's going to be. It's going to be, whoa.
That's what you're saying.
Well, I mean, we have to come up with something because he stole my caveman, Dean. Remember, a month ago on my birthday, I was so happy I had a caveman because I was the only one in the world. But I guess he's a New York caveman, apparently. And, you know, think he's got him on the, you know, he gave him a nice shiny bone.
His property of the Museum of Natural History.
I understand this.
Property
and you
of the New York.
You stole him like Ben Stiller. You went in and you stole him.
Listen,
you stole him from the Knighted Museum.
He answers to one. He answers to one power. He answers to one higher power, and that's Gazongas. And that's something, my friend, you lack.
I lack Gazongas?
Yeah, you lack Gazongas and you lack Gajones.
Oh.
I have both Gazongas and Gajones. And Xavier Cross has the biggest Gazongas in the business. Okay? So,
I don't think you know what Gazongas
are.
What are Gazongas?
I don't think he knows what Gazongas are.
Wait a second. He has the biggest marbles, not Gazongas.
Memas.
Oh,
listen here,
well,
stop speaking a different language, all right? Listen, I'm having so much fun, bro.
When I beat you
can have so much fun. Hey, you know what else is nice? Great parenting, Pinky Sanchez. Great parenting, by the way. I seen your little Twitter, getting your beautiful little daughter to tell me I suck. That was not nice. Not nice, Pinky. I'm like, oh, look, something he's done nice in the world.
Stuff.
This beautiful girl. And I look at her, and I'm like, she's awesome. And then she says, Larry sucks. And I just, you know, put her up to that because she never even got to, you know, she knows I'm a great guy. But you told her to tell I suck. Oh, that hurts
terrible.
My feelings.
Terrible.
And then you got all these other people retweeting it. That's the other problem. You know, some guy walked up to me the other day and went, Laddy sucks. And the only reason he said that to me is because of your tweets of lying messages that you're sending out there. You're probably going to have that whole crowd chanting, Laddy sucks, and try to give me a headache, and it's not going to work. I'm going to take my Tylenol, and I'm going to come out there with a smile on my face. You will not make me frown on the 28th, Pinky. Thank you, Butler. Thank you. You see, I get my food served to me at the Palace.
Loudy,
unlike New Yorkers who go and get hot dogs off a corner.
Pinky apparently had enough. He hung up. So
Pinky hung up.
I don't see entirely that being bad.
Well, gentlemen, how are you?
So
Loudy, how you doing, buddy?
So we're
I'm amazing.
We're very
close. Seems like
close.
I got you guys on, and you need to kill a little time. Let me tell you something. We are a mere 3 days away from PG-13. Xavier
Yes, we are.
Is really looking forward to stomping a mud hole and 12 other pretenders. And I promise you, from Xavier's words, right from his mouth. I heard it from him this weekend when I seen him. He promises victory at New Moon. And he promises to make everyone out there know that he is the only British person that matters this coming weekend.
I agree
100%. Shoot, he's the only English person that matters. That's right.
Because, you know, they might have
another
person
there. He's
the
only man in that match. He's the only man in that match. The rest are all boys.
He is the only man. And you know what? He's going to be victorious. We're going to raise our hands. And you know what? While I'm on here, I would also like to announce that Xavier Cross has gotten a special invitation for those of you out there. The HEW will represent themselves, along with myself, at CZW/NBA on October 4th.
I heard about this, yes.
Yes. Drew Blood will destroy Matt Tremont. And Xavier Cross will rematch with Latin Dragon. And we are looking forward to bringing the highly entertaining wrestling to such a great cause. So that's just that. And I know you guys have a wonderful show to keep going on. I know.
Well, wait a second, Loudy. Wait a second.
Yes.
Before, I know you were trying to get out of here, but...
You're not allowed.
You know what happened, Dean? I just found out something. Pinky's, the minute on his prepaid phone ran out during the call. That's what happened.
It's not true, because he called back. He called back, Loudy. So after his theme music, because he loves this theme music, apparently, after his theme music, we're going to get right back to Pinky.
Prepaid minutes ran out, man. I don't know what happened, man.
I told you that's what happened.
So I had to call you guys at my house phone. Hopefully I get service in the back of my house.
You gotta run down to the bodega.
I live in the deepest, darkest reaches of apartment 14B. B as in boy.
Now, Loudy, you have your final shot. Say something to Pinky. Make him remember it.
Raise your hand if you're drinking or smoking tonight.
What? Me? No, I'm not at all, brother. Listen, man, I stopped all that.
I'm smoking a cigar over here. I know that.
I said raise your hand, man, not comment.
Anyway, hey, you're smoking something.
Listen, Pinky. I'm going to get off the phone because this is your show and your moment.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call in just, you know, I just wanted
it's
to
always
say
my
hi.
Moment. When I step
I
in the room, it's just a moment.
I'm
sorry. Am I interrupting you?
No, well, you know, the ceiling can't
keep
hold
going.
You, apparently, right? You're
go
high. Listen, I'm going to tell it like it is. I just called in this night to wish you the best of luck on the 28th. You know, in the end, we know it's going to happen. Drew Blood, Notorious will play, and you'll once again go, what happened? I will this time make sure that I am away from you. You won't vilely put your hands on me and try to suck. What's the other word?
Loudy. Sucks.
What?
That's the word.
I don't suck.
I think it was, don't go into the light. I think it was I want me gold. Or. Give me back the baby.
Listen here, if you're referring to me as a Willow character, you are wrong, okay? All right?
Listen, Lowdy,
man. I am far from Willow.
You are
Mario.
Oh, my God.
Listen here, all right? John Aquazemo, huh?
I didn't feel to know that my daughter, who thinks you suck, is taller than you.
Listen here, your daughter might be taller than me. I understand that, but you know what?
I know you understand that.
I understand
it's not
that.
It's not a tall order to understand.
Listen, you may have read and watched all the Lord of the Rings movies, my friend.
You are the Lord of the Rings. You're like the new Hobbit.
Well, I guess I'm the new era of Hobbit because I'm a rich one.
Oh.
I never was a rich Hobbit.
That was good.
Hobbit meets Wall Street over here, baby.
Hobbit Street.
Yes. Starring Charlie Sheen, I guess. But the truth is, Pinky, all this joking, it's fun. It's fun. We're having good banter right now.
Yeah,
on the
28th, this is the thing,
at 28th,
man. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like one day, though, Loudy. You know, like when the bell rings, man, and it's time to go, you know that your soul is mine.
Jesus.
And you better visit church this Sunday, because it's the last time you're gonna be attending church on your own two feet. They're going to have to bring the pastor to you Saturday night.
I'm going to put much holy water in a water gun and spray you, I promise.
Because I'm going to put your head up Drew Blood's butt, and I'm going to put Drew Head's butt up Xavier Cross's butt, and then I'm going to take that question mark and I'm going to shove it up its butt, and there's going to be a lot of butts, and you're going to be the ass end of a butt of a buttipede.
Oh, Pinky, that is such I don't know where to come back from that one, you know?
Yeah.
You stumped me.
No, you don't have to come back. You are the back. You're the back of the butterbean.
Oh, man. You know what's funny, man?
The butterpiller.
I'm a butterpiller.
You
just called me a butterpiller on a talk show.
That's what's funny.
That just happened. You know what's funny? All this joking and joshing. We're doing a lot of joshing right now. But the one thing we haven't mentioned is that the two of us, as much as we don't like each other, are, you know, we have one thing in common, Pinky, and you know what? I hate to admit it. You know what that is?
No.
We both happen to work for the most upcoming, groundbreaking, emotionally investing company in professional wrestling right now, On Point Wrestling.
Definitely,
you gotta
man.
Admit that with me. Huh?
I almost just cried right now because I really am emotionally invested. You know what? I'm emotionally invested, Loudy. You know why we're emotionally invested in this product? Is because we want to be on top. We know we can be on top. We know On Point can be the best out there. We just know it's a matter of time. It's just going to keep the momentum going. But the fact is I would rather die than to see people like you and Drew Blood on top. That place is for real warriors. That place is for real professional wrestlers, not people who bought their way into the business like you, Loudy, with all your millions of dineros. All right, buddy? This is about guys' blood, sweat, and tears, brother.
Yeah.
Not in that order, precisely, but that's what it's about. Before buddy-buddy with Blood, Drew Blood actually was a pretty upstanding dude.
Tell the people in the laundromat behind you to keep it down.
Hey, listen. Leave the people in my walls alone.
Go ahead, Fluffy Man. I hear you're trying to talk.
hey, Loudy, but seriously, what do you have to say to Pinky before you go?
You know, it's all about, gosh, man, you know, when it's all said and done, I will do what I said to do, out to do, and that is to rid the world of Pinky Sanchez. Gentlemen, have a good night. Pinky, I'll see you on the 28th. Mystery Man's a-coming. Mystery Man's a-coming. Don't you think I'm Hornswoggle or any other demonic little midget that you call me. Later.
All right. So that was Loudy, the financial miracle. Pinky, what do you have to say? The 28th is just a week away. You're going to be back at On Point Wrestling, taking on that guy. You don't like him. You don't like Drew Blood. You don't like Xavier Cross. He's a cross-dresser. I don't know what's going on. You don't like anybody.
So
what do you
fancy,
got to say about
man. It? Listen, man, when I look at my fingernails, you know, what do I got here? Got some dirt. They're a little unkept. You know, my palms, though, are baby soft. I don't know what it is. No matter what I do, no matter how dirty I get, no matter how many heads I bust open, I just can't seem to get these hands all calloused. But that's not important right now. Well, it is kind of important, because that's the point I'm making. See, people like Loudy, they're not warriors. They're not fighters. They run around Philly. They watch Rocky 5 times a month, and they think all of a sudden they're fighters, and they're not. People like Xavier Cross. He goes to Chinatown. He gets his toes manicured. He gets his toes pedicured. He gets his mani pedi. He gets his eyebrows waxed. He shaves his chest, which I think is just wrong. You know, he shaves his beard. You know what? You know how a real man shaves? He doesn't.
That's a good point, Pinky.
That's
a good point.
You know what I mean? And then you got someone like Drew Blood, who I had so much respect for, someone that I've been up and down the road with. And at first it was, like I said, it was a rivalry, man. You know, it was a rivalry. It was all about competition with this man. And now, you know, he wants to put himself with Cross. And now,
you're starting to break up a little bit, but...
yeah, man, you know what it is, man. Is I'm not having very good reception over here. But yeah, let me get back on point to what I, pardon the pun. But anyway, man, long story short, let me take a little deep breath, because this is you know, the joking's done and it's time for me to sell the fans on this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Me and Loudy, you know Loudy, many wrestlers have taken a seat or have laid on the proverbial couch, have gone through Philadelphia, you know, and have visited Philadelphia and have stayed on the beautiful futon of the professional wrestler Loudy. You know what I'm saying? Loudy was someone that used to help the boys out, you know. He was a fan of professional wrestling before he even stepped foot in, you know, he was a big fan of it, you know. Now it's like, I guess Loudy forgot that, you know, about, you know, earning the trust of the boys and paying dues, you know what I'm saying? It's, I think Loudy thinks that he has to buy people off. And if someone doesn't respect him, he feels that he has to have some sort of a thing against them or whatever. You know, I'm a little lost for words. It's been a long day. You know, and the thing was, me and Loudy were very close at one time. And at one time I said, Loudy, you can do anything you can, brother. You have a plan. You have a way of motivating people. And you know what Loudy did with all that power? He decided to abuse it. He decided to side himself with people like Drew Blood, who was probably one of the hardest working blue-collar professional wrestlers out there. And now Drew Blood, you know, man knows his thing. You know his experience. You don't lose out on experience. You can't. Experience, but you can take away, you know, you can take away the respect I have for him. You know, I used to look forward to having matches with him, because we used to push each other athletically. We were young dudes, you know what I'm saying? Now we're a little older, you know. Now it's like, okay, well, now I gotta watch out for dirty tactics. I don't like that. So that was a friendly competition turned into a grudge, and now, you know, I don't know. I've been keeping up to date with the whole feud, and you guys have checked out the matches. Listen, the matches have gone from being unbelievable feats of athleticism to just dirty, dirty brawls.
Oh yeah, the last show. That's how the show ended.
Dirty brawls. know, you just can't you can't fake that, man. Me and Drew, when we're in that ring, we just don't each other, and we will do everything in our power to one-up each other and to put the hurting on each other. Now, this new kid, Xavier Cross, I've met him about a couple of times. I've been in the ring with him a couple of times. I've been in there in the ring with him for a couple of times, you know. And, you know, he has yet to earn, you know, my respect and everything. I don't think he's ever going to earn my respect, you know. Wanting himself to someone like Bobby. I just don't, you know, for a kid that probably has potential, you know, he's aligning himself with the wrong people, man. And it's just, honestly, like, I'm a little lost for words right now, because it gets me so angry that someone who I could look at somebody and say, hey, man, you know, no hating me. I give respect where respect is due. But I just think Xavier Cross is going to get real, real, real tired of being my punching bag before he's, you know, and he's going to realize that being with Loudy is the wrong thing to do, and that he needs to stop spending all his time at the beauty salon and start spending his time at the wrestling gyms, getting it in and getting it, you know, and learning from other wrestlers the way I did, old school, you know, paying some dues. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Now, Pinky.
It's easy. I think he's just comfortable. You know, I think Xavier Cross is comfortable with all the money and the excessive whatever the hell out he's giving him. I don't want to know. Leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? But one thing Xavier Cross is definitely going to get from me is he's going to get an ass whooping. He's going to get the ass whooping that his mama and his daddy should have gave him a long time ago. And whoever this mystery opponent is, I don't know, man. I'm not going to talk a big game about it right now. But I'm ready. I'm ready at all times, man, to go and do what I have to do in that ring, man. That's just how it is. That's the truth. There's no hype.
I understand.
No hype. No hype. No having to overhype anything, man. I'm ready.
No.
And my boy Funky is ready. And Caveman's ready. Funky Monkey, you know, he's a kid that I've seen come up in the game. He is one half of the best tag team out there right now. And I'll burn my boots if someone could find me a better young tag team in New York than them. Those dudes rock. Those dudes rule. And On Point's gonna, you know, On Point Wrestling is gonna, you know, On Point Wrestling is gonna. And they're going to do what they do, man.
All right. Pinky, that, of course, is next weekend. It's September 28th. Thank you for coming on tonight. Sorry about Loudy coming on, but you can follow Pinky at Pinky Sanchez on Twitter. And Pinky, thanks again for your time.
Oh, man, no problem. Take it easy, you guys, you know what I'm saying? If you're having another little radio interview.
Yeah. All right.
Take it easy, guys. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Pinky, again, and you have a good night.
You too.
See you, Pinky.
Okay. point, wrestling returns September 28th to the world-famous Proving Grounds in Deptford, New Jersey. It's headlined by Scott Summers, who will be on next week as he takes on Chris Dickinson. We're going to have Matt Tremont taking on Jock in a rematch on American soil. We're also going to have this six-man tag that we've been talking about. Also, first time ever, Amasis of the Assyrian Portal taking on TNA superstar Sanjay Dutt. There's a lot going on, and I'll tell you what, excited for it. Ophidian was just recently added to the card.
What just happened?
I'm talking about On Point Wrestling. All tickets are $15, Dan. And it's going to be an exciting show next weekend, the 28th of
In
September.
All seriousness, On Point Wrestling puts on a hell of a show. They always draw a great crowd. It's an exciting atmosphere. You got reactions to the matches. You got eclectic matches and eclectic card. I would not miss this for the $15. Dollars?
But you will be missing it.
Well, it's not a... Thanks, man.
Well, you know,
I tried to I rebounded off the shot off the pad, and you missed.
Not today.
Not today.
Man, I really need to collect myself.
Hey, by the way, did you know my favorite Phil Collins album was Butt Seriously?
Butt a Pete.
Thank you, Butt a Pete. Hashtag Butt a Pete. Let's trend it. When the stream ending?
Yeah, it's time to collect my thoughts. Dan, what did you want to hear earlier?
Set My Facer to Miles Davis.
All right, it's Keep My Heat On by the Mystery Men. That was Keep My Heat On. We don't need any more heat tonight, I'll tell you that much. Wow.
Just.
Wow.
Wow. Huh?
You know, some nights, I had all these questions planned for Pinky, you know, breaking in, your early career, your first series of matches in CZW with Drew and things of that nature, and didn't have a chance.
I don't think he knows.
That plan went right out the window.
Right out the window as soon as he got on the line. But that's besides the point. We have an exquisite guest to join us now. And it is, of course, it's going to be the winner of PG-13. I am speaking of Justin America, and he'll be right on after this.
Ow.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
He is a former United States champion of New Moon Rising Wrestling. Not only that, he defeated the mighty Magnum XL to be the number one contender for that championship. I introduce to you the leader of the Americans, Justin America. How are you tonight, Justin?
The H is O. How are you, Dean Dixon?
I am doing wonderful. How are... I have other people here with me.
I wanted to finish. How are you, Omega Squad?
I'm doing great, Justin. How are you doing tonight?
And that's all that matters. Doing great. Omega's doing great. And Justin's doing great. Let's get Hell in the Cell.
Hey, doesn't Justin America have the record for quickest match ever in New Moon Rising?
That would be true.
Okay,
it was unfortunate.
Okay, I'm here too. Hi, Justin. How you doing, jerk?
It was unfortunate that such a thing happened. It was a travesty of justice.
It was so quick, neither one of us saw it.
I'd rather not discuss that. It reminded me of prom night. Now, Justin.
Dean, Omega, may I ask you guys a question? Is that third guy that's speaking, is that Harry Barnett's lackey?
Oh, no.
We call him the sidekick.
Okay.
Oh, sidekick. All right.
Okay. Who the hell is Harry Barnett anyway? Look, I'm dressed up like the Joker. Why?
Anyway, I have serious questions that I need to... Now, of course.
We both do, if I'm allowed to ask them.
Of course you are, as long as you take this seriously. But my question is, Justin, PG-13 is simply days away. What is your favorite Steven Seagal movie?
Out for Justice. No.
What? Under Siege?
Dude, are you kidding me? March for Death is probably the greatest Steven Seagal movie ever. He not only, in the very end, in the final fight, not only does he gouge a guy's eyes out, he throws him through a wall, breaks his back, and then throws him down an elevator shaft. Greatest death scene ever.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Dan, your question, as long as you keep this serious. On topic.
I was going to ask you, the follow-up was, is that better than Cobra?
There's such a movie that's better than Cobra. With the exception of possibly The Highlander.
Okay. I was actually going to ask you what your favorite Sylvester Stallone movie was, but...
Yeah, obviously Cobra.
Cobra.
Well, what were your questions that were prepared before we went off on this tangent, Dan? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what is your actual strategy for this PG-13 match, since it didn't work out for you so much last time?
Last time, I believe there was a cheater named Tank Poland that pulled me out of the ring. That won't be happening this time, so I will be winning.
Hey, Justin. Who took care of Tank Tolan for you?
I believe his name was Dean Dixon.
That's right. Okay.
Well, who hit him with a chair? Was it you or Joe Gacy?
There was no chair, Dan.
Yeah. You know what it was, Dan? Dan, you know what it was? It was called cunning and strategery. Two things that wolves have.
That's right.
Okay. Wow.
Wolves are my favorite animal as well, Justin.
Tank Tolan can't reach the ring. How can he pull you out?
I'm not even going to field that question.
Okay, fine.
So,
point of order, I rest my case.
Let's just say you're in there, Justin, this coming Saturday. You're in there with Nathan Avery. You're in there with the Amish Mafia guy. You're in there with your compadres.
You mean the richest American alive, richer than Bill Gates?
Really?
Is Mr. he? Michael Madoff? Yes.
Bill Gates is reported to have his
net worth is somewhere around $70 billion. Well, Michael Madoff is $70.35.
Well, why can't he pay for the sponsorship and have to put tape over the bottles?
Yeah, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. Why does he tape over the air freshener if he has?
Because rich people like Mr. Madoff don't waste their money on spending for frivolous things like endorsements. You know, they refused to pay him when he told them that he would make them money, and since they refused to pay him, he puts tape on it.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
So he still uses the product, but he says, "The hell with them, I'm going to do it my way." I can actually respect that. I retract my former statement.
Yeah, me too.
So
like a good American.
So what happens if you're surrounded by, this young lion, the brains of America, Nathan Avery, and the girth of America in Michael Madoff?
Well, obviously, there's only three people in that entire match that are worthy of becoming the number one contender, and that's Nathan Avery, Michael Madoff, and myself.
True, I can agree with that.
Now, if and when it comes down to the three of us, Madoff has already ruled out any kind of war that he wants to go against Nathan or myself. So, and by that I mean Nathan and I will probably, give him a low blow and throw him over the ropes. But then you will see the greatest match that ever could have happened in New Moon Rising Wrestling, with the exception of Robert Knight and myself, when Nathan Avery and I go at it.
Oh, God.
You know what, Justin? It's amazing you should bring that up, because when we had Robert on, he said one of the matches that he still wants to get out of himself, he says he still has a run left. That's besides the point. He said one of the matches that he is most looking forward to is battling you inside the squared circle. Care to comment?
Robert and I are great friends, as you know. Robert and I are business associates, as you know. Robert and I have had one match before, and he was on the upper hand that day. But that was years ago. That was, years before my extensive military training, my inner studying, where I found myself, found who I am, found what a great American really is. But not to downplay my good friend Robert Knight, that was also well before Robert's accident, when he had facial reconstruction.
True.
And became Robert Knight. So I'm going to say, just like last time, it could come up to be where I make a mistake and Robert wins. Robert makes a mistake and I win. It's a coin toss.
It's flip the coin. I believe it. Now, let's get back to PG-13. Does this mystery of the three mystery men, does that frighten you as an American? I mean, we as Americans are easily frightened by the uncertainty of what's to come over the horizon. So are you, as the leader of the Americans, a little frightened by that?
Was Abraham Lincoln frightened when he invaded the beaches of North Carolina? Was George Washington frightened when he fought the Haitians in Philadelphia? Absolutely. Like any great American, I would not be frightened by the unknown. I would charge it head on and eliminate my competition.
Eliminated Haitian. Justin, you have no idea how
North
refreshing.
Carolina.
You have no idea how refreshing this interview is after what we just had.
No, really, this is like landing on American soil, being overseas for 6 months.
Yes,
it really is.
It is. But what I want to say is, so the Mystery Men, they're not the Mystery Men, but the...
Not the band.
The three guys. Well, the Mystery Men, it could be the Mystery Men. What?
There's three of them, isn't there?
Yeah.
You never know.
Dean, just answer me this, because you would know, above anybody else. Answer me this, okay?
Sure.
Is those three guys? Is it the Mass Maulers?
I have not. You know, they went back to Belarus, and it's very difficult to get in contact with somebody. There's no email. There's no internet in Belarus. So,
not unlike America.
Unlike America, America is a land of opportunity. Justin,
I heard they have Morse code though.
So no, it is not to my knowledge, at least. I'm afraid it could be Brady Hicks. I think Brady could get in there. And what if he's the winner? He would be guaranteed a title shot.
But Dean, you're also thinking that means that Brady has a chance in South America that he would beat me. see what I did there? I said South America was hell.
Yeah, I did get that. That was clever.
Dean once told me if you have to explain the joke, it's not funny.
Well, no, he was... Never mind.
Yeah, I know.
No. See, what you got was the funny part was where I did explain it. That's why Dean laughed.
I love it. Now, Justin...
That's only above average, Dan.
Who is that?
Well, you leave Omega alone.
Oh, sorry. Shut up.
We still have to finish...
The Omega Squad?
Yes. He will be in attendance! At PG-13,
and I cannot wait.
Yeah. Honestly, who cares about Dean and myself or the kind of okay Harry Barnett when you got Omega Squad coming?
That's what I said.
It's a Transformer for Christ's sake.
Dan, I know you had a question that you were.
Yeah, could somebody please explain to me when these people got together and when the Americans were formed or whatever the hell's going on and who the guy with the glasses is?
The guy with the... Listen.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Justin.
Listen. A couple months back, after I was unjustly screwed out of Drunk Dog, that whole match that you keep referring to, after that whole debacle went down, I realized...
Got beat 20 seconds? Yes, go ahead.
I realized that these people... That you know, sit in chairs below me, beneath me, and watch up at me, and enjoy everything that I do for them. I realize that they don't care about me like they should. So I realize I needed to teach them a lesson, and in order to do that, I had to teach them what being a good American was. So in order to teach them what a good American was, I needed to form a group of Americans that were great, so they could look upon them and say, you know what, that is an intelligent American. That is how you get money in America. And that is a man that loves and breathes America. That's why I got those guys together. And it's all under the, and not tutelage, but it's all under, the contracts were sealed because of the greatest sports agent in wrestling, Mr. Johnny McLean.
See, somebody finally explained to me that what he actually does is, instead of sweating in a suit in a hot building, he's actually a sports agent.
Yes.
That's all I asked, you know. Somebody finally explained it to me.
Well, okay. As a casual observer, I'm going to take a...
I honestly didn't know. When did you guys form? I'm sorry, Dean.
I was going to get to that, but
Oh, God. You, it's
well,
not.
You,
I just work here.
You were like the blunt hammer on that one. I was going to expound upon this point, Dan, and here I go.
Blunt hammer.
That's your new nickname, the blunt hammer. Dan the blunt hammer Calachica. Now, my point is, just as a casual observer, from 1 month we go to this guy's taking pictures in the corner, to the next month, he has assembled the greatest faction in the history of New Moon Rising Wrestling. It's a little lot to take in. That's all I'm saying.
But, you know, nobody else would have pointed that out, and we're jerks for pointing that out.
I do understand that, and I did. I thought when this guy was taking pictures of me, and he was taking pictures of Nathan, and especially
pictures of
Madoff.
I didn't know he was taking pictures of anybody. I only saw the selfies.
Well, there was that, and he was taking, you know, in the background. He was studying. But what I originally thought was he was just doing what Brady Hicks did before he got involved with, well, before he got involved with New Moon Rising Wrestling. He was taking pictures of people that he was trying to recruit.
Oh, okay. Very.
Oh, you didn't know that? You didn't know that about Brady?
He was never a photographer.
Oh, no, he would recruit people to come to his house and eat pretzels and hang out in his van.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that about Brady.
They go into the basement and eat chips.
That's where In the Room is. It's a scary, dark place. Now, Justin,
Brady Hicks once told me, he said, Justin, I want you to know. And, Dean, you were there when this happened, so you could testify to this.
Do it like Brady
said. He said, Justin, I just got to tell you. I am the Rob Lowe of wrestling. I said, what does that even mean, Brady? He said, there was a time I was accused of an underage. You know what? I'm not even going to go there. Just say I'm Rob Lowe. So I started calling him Rob Lowe.
Oh, my God. Justin, you're now my favorite person ever. I want that on record.
Okay, so Justin.
All right, so but I would, no, personally, I want to thank you for finally explaining it. That's all I ask.
What the Rob Lowe of wrestling actually meant?
No, I got that one. I was talking about the manager or the sports agent, Johnny McClain.
Yes.
Now yes, I get it.
Wrestling's great. Yes, the greatest sports agent in professional wrestling.
Okay. Is it the only sports agent?
Yeah, I don't think there are sports agents. But anyway, besides the point, we're still just days away, PG-13, the signature match of New Moon Rising Wrestling. Now, I gotta get serious for a moment here.
Okay.
Your favorite Rocky film. Go.
Oh, Rocky One.
Okay, Dan.
Okay. Your favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Oh.
Lionheart.
Wow. All right. Well. Okay. Wow. Favorite Dolph Lundgren movie?
Peanut butter or jelly?
Ooh, favorite Dolph Lundgren movie would have to be The Joshua Tree, also known as Army of One, in which at one point he's inside of a car garage where the bad guys were, you know, making counterfeit Lamborghinis, and they were painting them and everything. Well, he's hiding behind a Lamborghini, guys are shooting up the area, and then one guy gets covered in paint thinner. What does Dolph do? He takes a blowtorch, sets the dude on fire, and then kicks him into the paint thinner. Amazing.
Whoa. All right, one more for you, Mr. America.
Called Army of One.
One more for you.
Yes.
First Blood or First Blood 2?
First Blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your winner of PG-13. Justin America. Do you have any final thoughts, Justin?
Final thoughts. Well, can I plug a few things?
Of course you can.
Plug away,
you can. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to plug the Twitter account of me, which is JustinAmerica82.
Yes.
I do social commentary on such things, such as what people talk about socially and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I also comment on like PlayStation 4. I love talking about that. So if you want to chat me up about that, I'll talk about that. I also have the website or the old YouTube page you can go to. Check out Moose Knuckle Entertainment. There's a couple of videos up there. Some exciting stuff coming up in the near future with that. And that's about all I have to plug right now. Also, if you want great MMA news, check out Omega Squad. Oh wait, he's actually here, so he can plug himself.
Yeah, you can still check me out at Omega Squad.
Okay, there you go.
I appreciate the plug, Justin.
Hey, Justin, what about me, Justin?
If you want to learn about pizzas and being like John Candy, check out DanLaw83.
Justin, it's always a pleasure, and I have to say, I will be there to salute your valiant victory this Saturday.
And I will, too.
Before they throw us out.
Might happen. That might happen during the Scoop Slam, if it's even slated to happen. I don't fucking know. But anyway, Justin, you have a good night, and we'll talk.
You too, good sir.
We'll talk on... Actually, I'm going to hit you up in a few moments, but you have... A good night.
Well, you did hire Moose Knuckle Entertainment for that thing that's coming out soon that other people can find out about very soon that they can also hire Moose Knuckle Entertainment for down the line if they want to.
Yes, if you need a quick commercial or a short film produced, Moose Knuckle Entertainment, folks.
Yes.
There we
go.
So,
well, that's what I was going to talk to you about, but we're on the same page with it. So, yes. Moose Knuckle Entertainment, that's what I got to say. Justin, you have a great night.
You too.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
So that was Justin America. He will be the winner of PG-13. I have said it. It's going to happen. And my goodness, I think it's going to be a fantastic night of wrestling.
I guess.
On that note, Omega, are you ready yet again?
I am ready again.
Right, so that was, I'll tell you, that was World Series of Fighting. I'll tell you. We already talked about it.
We already talked about it, didn't we?
I know. My mind is elsewhere.
I've already forgotten about it.
We've already talked about the preliminaries. Let's talk about the main card.
Yes.
We were talking about Pat Healy taking on my favorite guy.
Habib Nurmagomedov.
Now, where do you see this one going?
Well, you look at the rankings, you see Pat Healy at number 10, but really Nurmagomedov is the one with the true momentum on his side. 20-0, 4-0 in the UFC, really looks impressive coming into this fight. Healy coming off the win over Jim Miller that was overturned because he apparently smoked something. Much like Mickey Sanchez, but I think really Healy has shown that he's got good skills. He's got good wrestling, but you know Nurmagomedov has just way too many tools. Is faster, probably the guy with the more flashy striking, and is going to be able to run the submissions. Better than Healy is going to be able to, I think Nurmagomedov is probably quicker, is going to be able to grab more dominant positions and be able to grind out a victory here. If I'm not sure if Nurmagomedov can get the finish here, but I think we can see that I think he's going to pull out at least the decision victory here.
All right, now let me tell you what I will tell you, Kostas Filipou. Taking on Francis Carmont, I'm going to guess. Hey!
Yes. Carmont. Yep.
Carmont. Now, where do you see that one? I'm familiar with Filipou, of course. He's a veteran. He's been around for quite some time. And I'll tell you, what do you say?
Well, you know, Filipou has been out of action since December when he got a third-round technical knockout over Tim Bosch. You know, Carmont has a 5-0 UFC record, but he hasn't looked impressive in those outings. He really kind of just slid through his last couple of outings against Tom Lawler and Lorenz Larkin. Just kind of barely made the victory there, even though, I mean, unanimous decision victory versus Lorenz Larkin, but I don't think that was good a fight for Carmont. In this case, he's going up against Kostas Filipou, who is really good takedown defense and solid wrestling and solid striking. Filipou is currently ranked in that division. I think he's like 9 or well, he's 7 in middleweight. I think he's on the upswing. He's the guy who's definitely got the better skills. He's going to have the better game overall, certainly on the takedown defense. He's coming off that, like I said, coming off that win over Tim Bosch. Could have some ring rush since it has been so long. Not quite 9 months is a long time, but it's not insurmountable. I really think Filipou is going to take this probably by decision. I think he's going to be, like I said, going to be able to defend the takedown for Carmont and just, you know, land some strikes and eventually just cruise to a decision victory here.
I have to agree with you on that one. Filipou, like I was saying, he is the veteran. He's certainly crafty when it comes to victories. I don't think he's much more than a gatekeeper, but there it is. He's a good fighter in the mid-card of a UFC fight, and I don't think much more. He's not going to main event anything. He's not going to you know what I mean?
It's hard to say where he's going to go. Where he's going to go? What's his total upside? I don't know. I think you're right. He's probably just kind of a gatekeeper role. He hasn't really fought anybody and defeated anybody of note in the division. I mean, he's got a win over Court McGee, and we know that guy's tough. But I mean, you know, he's sitting there at 7, but he hasn't really beat anyone that I can say other than Bosch. And I'm not really saying Bosch is the be all end all either. Is really that great. I'd like to see him step up and fight a better fighter to really gauge where he's at, and I don't think Carmont is that guy. So,
definitely. Victory, we both agree on that. Let's move on. We have this one I find a little interesting, and the reason being these guys are so much alike as far as their careers have gone. We got Brendan Schaub, who has found some difficulty in his career for UFC, taking on Matt Mitrione. Mitrione, of course, when he defeated Kimbo Slice a long time ago at this point, during the UFC pay-per-view in Montreal, like I said, so long ago, he was an up-and-comer. He's had some trouble more more so with his mouth, I think, getting into trouble talking about Fallon Fox and all that stuff. So a clash of two guys, it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top. Frankly, I'm going to go with Mitrione. I think he has a better game. I think Schaub is in better shape, though. So, Omega, your thoughts?
You know, I actually tend to agree with you. These are both two guys that, coming off of the Ultimate Fighter Season 10, really had some momentum and then kind of fell apart. They both lost two of the last three, you know, against some of the upper-level heavyweights. You know, Mitrione, you know, lost to Chet Congo and Roy Nelson before picking up the win versus Philip DeFries in a very, very quick knockout. So we didn't really see much of how he's improved since those losses in that last fight. Brendan Schaub, obviously, he's had some bad runs here. He managed to grind out a boring decision versus LeVar Johnson in his last fight out. But before that, fell to Ben Rothwell and Big Nog. So, you know, you look at this, look at how they stack up. They're both in similar places in their career. Mitrione's going to have the heavy hands. He's going to have the knockout power. Schaub has really, with the exception of the win over Krokop, has not shown knockout power. Where Mitrione has that power, but Schaub is going to be the better athlete. Certainly, he's going to have the better.
Oh yeah,
the better wrestling. He's, you know, former NFL player is going to have. Well, they're both former NFL players. But he's got the better wrestling, the better takedown. He's going to control the wrestling.
I don't think it necessarily bodes well if you lose to Congo and Nelson in your career. I don't think that bodes well for Mitrione, because it shows that you just aren't ready for that upper echelon. Congo, of course, he's a great striker, that sort of thing. If you can't get past him, now granted that went to decision, but if you can't get past him, and then of course Nelson knocked out Mitrione, so which you brought up. So I like Mitrione, even though he's a jerk. I like his style a little bit better than Schaub. That's why I'm going with.
Well, I think Mitrione, I'm going to pick Mitrione too, because I think that he only needs one punch to knock out Schaub. Schaub has shown a kind of a glass chin before. He's been knocked out pretty badly before. I think he's vulnerable to that, and I haven't seen anything to lead me to believe that he's still not vulnerable to it. The LeVar Johnson has great power, but he didn't use it very effectively in that last fight. So I think Mitrione is got the if he gets in early and lands the shot early, I think he can knock Schaub out. Schaub needs to get Mitrione on the ground and basically grind out another decision, which means a boring fight. And so I'd much rather see Mitrione knock him out.
I would have to agree with that sentiment as well. Now, the bantamweight fight. Take it away. I just want to hear what you have to say about this bantamweight title fight between Barrow and Wineland.
Well, obviously, this is the UFC Interim Bantamweight Championship. We are still waiting for Dominic Cruz to return. Been out almost 2 years now. No timetable for that. They are talking very, very soon about stripping Dominic Cruz of the bantamweight title because he has not fought in so long. I think Dana White said if Cruz is not ready to return by the first of the year sometime, they're going to end up probably having to strip him. So that leaves Henan Brow is probably, you know, he is the champ in my eyes right now.
Oh, certainly.
He is the bantamweight champion. He is a dominant champion. 5-0 in the UFC, 30-1 overall. You know, this is a guy that possesses great striking, some flashy moves, can really, really put a guy over and really just kind of land there. He's got great submission skills. He's got all the tools he needs. He's fast. He's dynamic. He's just hard to put away, hard to even catch up with. Versus an Eddie Wineland guy. Eddie Wineland is a former WEC bantamweight champion, but he just does not have the kind of tools that someone needs to beat Henan Brow. You know, if Henan Brow can take out a guy he's taken out the elite of the division. He's taken out Michael McDonald, Uriah Faber, Scott Jorgensen, Brad Pickett, all those guys. He has the credentials. He is legit. He has all the tools to do it. Those leg kicks he kicks, throws out are devastating. He's got spinning back kicks and flying knees, and he can be wherever he needs to be to win the fight. Wineland's is hard to fight, is hard to finish, and he's got good power for a bantamweight, but I have a hard time believing he's going to be able to land those things. Wineland is a good fighter, don't get me wrong. I just don't think that he has the tools to beat Hendon Brown this one. I really think Hendon Brown finishes this in the first round.
I have to agree with that. But likewise, you said Pickett, you said Jorgensen. Wineland's defeated them as well. Those were his last two wins. So, I mean, they are evenly matched in terms of, what's the word I'm looking for, in terms of competition.
Yeah, they've faced the better. They both faced top quality competition in their careers. But if you look at, I mean,
well, Burrell, he is simply an elite fighter, and
yes.
I wish they would give him the title rather than keep the interim in front of the title, because it's not fair to a fighter like Burrell.
It isn't, but at the same time, I think everyone who is knowledgeable is really sees him as the champion. I mean, Cruz, there's no guarantee Cruz, even coming back, is going to be the same fighter he was back then.
What the hell is the injury?
He keeps having like a knee injury or ACL or something like that.
Oh, okay.
He just can't seem to get it cleared up. So, I mean, he's had a couple fights that have gone that were scheduled, then he hurt it again, and then it didn't heal right. So it's been a long time coming. And he's not coming back. This is not a simple injury. These are potentially career threatening injuries. Whether or not he's going to have the same speed and explosiveness coming back is questionable. And even then, I think even picking Hendon Burrell against Dominic Cruz of 2 years ago, I might pick Burrell. So.
I definitely agree with that. I think it's going to be a good fight, though, and that's the most important thing.
I think it will be a good fight because Wineland is difficult to put away, and I think Wineland has the power in his hands that, you know, striker's chance. So.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that, of course, earlier in the year with Anderson Silva and whatnot. So the main event, we have a good one, I think. It's John Jones, the light heavyweight champion of the world, taking on Alexander Gustafsson. Now, the thing to me in this one, do you really think that Gustafsson has the chance, or do you think, I mean, who's next in line if Gustafsson can't get the job done for John Jones? Well, answer one at a time. Where do you see this one going? It's so hard to pick against John Jones at this point.
It is. The interesting thing in this fight, which is something different that John Jones hasn't faced before, is Gustafsson is going to be the taller fighter here.
That is a very unique thing, and I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead.
But even being a taller fighter, John Jones is still going to have a reach advantage, fairly significant reach advantage, just because of his frame. You know, Gustafsson is a very talented fighter. I think he does pose the best chance to dethrone John Jones. To this point. I mean, I think Lyoto Machida has had the best showing against John Jones, with the exception of, you know, Vitor Belfort for that half second.
Yeah.
But
Vitor Belfort went fight. Give me fight Vitor Belfort ready. Good.
But you know, Gustafsson is he has a lot of tools. He is a good striker. He's got great footwork. He's got he's got some good skills. Now, whether or not he's going to be able to, he's got, like I said, his stand up's going to be the thing. But you look at a guy like John Jones, whose stand up, while rudimentary, he uses his length well. John Jones is not the top striker in the UFC, but he is probably a guy, you know, with his length, he can use his length to keep you at bay. He can push you up against the cage, he can clinch you, and then he can knee you to death. I think John has, you know, he has proven on numerous occasions that he has the talent and the desire to win, and I think he will continue to do that. You know, Gustafsson in his previous fights has probably been the better athlete. He's been the better skilled fighter. I don't think he has. At least he doesn't have as good an advantage here. I don't think he probably is the better fighter here. I mean, he's got a good chance, but you know, we've seen John weather storms, pull out submissions. You know, Jones is just an elite athlete, and I have a hard time picking against him. I think Gustafsson is going to have to try to keep Jones off balance and try to carry it into the fifth round and eke out a decision, because I think it's going to be tough to put away Jones. But if
we've
Jones...
never really seen Jones in trouble, though. I mean, give credit where credit is due. He's a very unorthodox fighter, I think, because you never know where he's attacking from. So he keeps his opponents off balance, which is very good, especially for your fighter. You don't want to get hit. The only person that I've seen, and I haven't seen every Jones fight, he's not one of my favorite fighters. I really don't care, per se. The only reason I'm interested in this is because there's a chance that he may be dethroned. But getting back to my point, the only time we've really seen him in trouble that I know of is against Machida.
Yeah, and you have Machida with who had the better elusivity and counter-striking in that fight. But there was only a matter of time before Jones used his length to his advantage, pushed Machida up against the cage, and then, you know, obviously he got that guillotine choke.
Oh, that sick guillotine choke.
Yeah. I got to think that Jones is going to have a similar game plan here. He's going to be patient. He's going to wait for his opportunity to corner Gustafsson and then, you know, lay his strikes on him, lay the knees, lay those elbows. Those elbows are devastating. I think Gustafsson, like I said, Gustafsson has a very real chance here. Is it overwhelming? No. I would say he's still an underdog in this fight. And I think if he can, like I said, if he can manage to keep Jones at bay with his footwork, with his striking and his very striking arsenal, can manage to score some points, he can pull this out. But he's going to have to survive, and that's going to be the challenge for anybody to fight John Jones. I think if I'm going to pick right now, I'm going to pick Jones, and I think he's going to finish it. May not be first round, but I think it's probably, you know, rounds two or three.
Well, a typical John Jones type of fight. I mean, he's only gone to decision once in his career. That was against Evans. Well, since he's been in UFC, I should say, in his career, he has had a few more decisions than that. I mean, if you just – let's talk about John Jones and his legacy. I think when he was chasing the title, he was easier to get behind, because once he became champion, he became confident and he became a tad bit arrogant and a bit of a jerk, especially after the DWI and all that. So personality-wise, he's not one of my favorite champions as far as UFC goes. But when you look at what this guy has done, frankly, I throw out that loss to Matt Hamill. I think that was a fluke. It shouldn't have happened. He was destroying Matt Hamill.
Yes, that was a DQ. That was. It might as well have been a win. No, I think you're right. Nobody counts that. That's his only loss on his record, and that's he should be undefeated right now. Realistically,
Can you appeal that? I mean, to get it off the record. But anyway, that's,
no, you can't appeal it. I mean, it was clear. It was a downward elbow.
He was killing the kid. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, but you still can't do a 12-6 elbow. I mean, you can't have pills. You can't have pills in your bucket. You can't do a 12-6 elbow. Okay.
No pills in the bucket. No 12-6 elbows. Now, but if you look at the list since. Simply, he's been in the UFC. I mean, Stephen Bonner, Matt Hamill, who, you know, was an exciting fighter for some period of time. The Janitor was one of them. Brandon Vera, Bader, Hua. You have Quentin Jackson, Machida, Evans, Belfort, Chael Sonnen. You have...
With the exception of Sonnen, his last 6 fights have been against former champions.
Yeah.
And he's beat them all.
An amazing run that he's had. Now, you can say whatever you want about Rampage Jackson, that he was at the tail end of his career, that sort of thing. That was actually probably the start of the downward spiral for Quentin Jackson in UFC. But
he really has an amazing legacy, and I just want to bring that up. Right now, he has the longest win streak in UFC light heavyweight history. He has 9 in a row. That's what's going on. He's tied right now with Tito Ortiz, a Hall of Famer. Say what you want about Tito Ortiz now, TNA, Bellator, whatever, but Tito Ortiz was the man in the light heavyweight division for years. He's tied right now for most successful light heavyweight title defenses with 5. Most consecutive successful light heavyweight defenses with 5. Most wins in the light heavyweight division championship fights with 6. And he's tied with Tito Ortiz and Matt Hughes for 3rd most consecutive title defenses with 5. So this guy, I mean, he's already right in the Hall of Fame career. And what is he, 23?
He is 26.
Or 26?
Still. you mentioned before that he won the title and he kind of, you know, got a little bit arrogant. Well, keep in mind, he won the title at 24.
Yeah.
He's very young. It went to his head. We see it all the time with guys that get some success, be it NFL players, be it top athletes that get success, and it goes to their head for whatever reason. And fine, you know, I think Jones has settled down into his media role and his role as champion in the last couple of fights. I think he still says stuff that he shouldn't, but part of that is he's just kind of playing the role now. But you look at his legacy outside the media appearances. Absolutely, he is already set himself as a UFC Hall of Famer in the future, barring some crazy downward spiral. He is certainly right now probably the pound for pound best in the world. Certainly, an argument for that.
Well, at this point, I have to agree with Anderson Silva, you know, dipping out there. I mean, who do you have in the top 3? You have to have Jones, St. Pierre, unfortunately. And
I think it's still Jones, GSP, and Anderson Silva. I just think it's just,
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The order has changed.
Yeah, yeah, because it was always Anderson Silva for years, and Silva. Why doesn't Jose Aldo get more? Because of his cardio? Is that why people don't
know? Yeah, I mean, he's shown the most weakness of those guys.
True, but
I mean he's had fights where he hasn't come off as dominant. I mean, that's what it is. But I mean, he is still an elite fighter and deserves. He is definitely top 5 pound for pound. You mean? I fully believe that. So.
I certainly agree too. But that's coming up, of course, this Saturday. And segue time, because it is part of our weekend. Now, Dan, I want to bring you back on. Are you there, Dan? I guess not.
Yeah, been there.
But,
that's okay. I'm
gonna
be there.
Yeah, you're going to be here. Maybe Dan's going to make a late appearance like he is on Friday night. There he is. There he is. Now, I'm
sorry. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Let's just move on. We don't have to put the microscope on the issue. Now, moving right along, we have the list of events coming up this weekend. It starts, my goodness, it's a day away, quite frankly, in my mind, because, in reality as well. But it starts Friday, September 20th, of course, 7 p.m., Ring of Honor, Northeast Philadelphia, at the Armory. There is going to be a new Ring of Honor champion crowned. 4 guys are there. It's also the Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view back home in Philly. Well, it's not really their home anymore, but they're back in Philly. Dan will not be there. Omega and I
have more important things to do for her drive.
We have former commissioner Don Warren will be making the travels with us as well.
Don, he's coming?
Yes, to that.
I'm meeting up with you guys afterwards. I want to say hi to Donnie.
So, former commissioner of New Moon Rising Wrestling, Donnie Warren will be there. Brady Hicks bringing Big Earn. Harry Barnett will be there. It's going to be a scene at Ring of Honor. So, the next morning, things start early for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We're going to be recording in conjunction with Moose Knuckle Entertainment, we're going to be recording a web commercial for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Just going to say it's going to be a a fantastic time, and I was gonna try to make a joke about dressing up in drag, but I can't remember.
All right.
Are we going to make a joke about it, or are you just going to state it?
Or is that the joke?
Yeah. I don't know. He's just trying to take a page out of Justin's book. It ain't working.
Yeah. No, I can't do it. Yeah, I also can't have a match and lose in 4 seconds.
Anyway, you probably could. Moving right along, we have a special
episode
for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. The fans, it's our Fan Appreciation Summit Symposium. It's going to be Bill Olson and George Burr. They are going to join us. We are going to have a great time. We're going to talk about Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, why they listen to us, why we are a podcast of choice for them. Bill, every week, and Dan, I'll let you have a point in a second, Bill every week tweets his podcasters, and we are in the same company as Stone Cold Steve Austin and Colt Cabana. I'm going to ask him, why the hell is that? And I'm going to ask him live on air on Saturday afternoon.
I just want to know if it's in any particular order.
We're number one, and they're number two in 500.
I'm sure you would like the results of that informal poll. Now, moving right along. after that, that's going to be it's scheduled for an hour, but it might go over a little bit here or there. We'll probably grab some grub. Yummy, yummy. No. And then it's time for New Moon Rising Wrestling.
PG-13.
That's right, PG-13, and it's going to be a blast, and I mean that. It's going to be something else. We have 10 guys that are already announced, and I'm just so excited about it. I didn't have it up, but I'm looking it up now.
I will say this, man. The PG-13 tournament is a very unique way to determine a number one contender. Instead of having just the normal Battle Royal, Royal Rumble type match, you get 13 guys in the ring, and as soon as they're down to the last two, then they have to have a match to find out who wins it. But it's all in one shot. You don't have the thing. You don't have the Battle Royal, and then an hour later at the end of the show, you get the match to see who wins. This all happens elimination style until it is all over, folks.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm not sure if it starts out Royal Rumble style. Did you bring that up? You already brought that up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very well, then. You know, as you're eliminated, your Lumberjacks, you brought that up?
Yeah. No, I did not. I forgot
okay.
about that part.
But once all 13 are in the ring, that's when eliminations can then occur. You're going to have, once you're eliminated, you then become a Lumberjack. Why Lumberjack? Because when it's down to two final guys, it becomes a Lumberjack match. Normal rules apply at that point. You can get disqualified, you can get pinned, you can get counted out. Well, you can't get counted out because there's Lumberjacks, pal.
I mean, if it takes more than 10 seconds, you're in trouble.
That's true. That's very true. Now, the 10 guys that have been announced so far, Indy's most hated, Amadeus Thorn, returns to the Proving Grounds. We have the paperboy, Steve Zaff. We have the Mac Daddy, no restraining order needed, Mac Daddy Ron Starr. We also have Mark Angel making his triumphant return. And you know what? He doesn't have a manager anymore. More on that at the show. We're going to have Nathan Avery. He's part of the Americans. We're going to have Mike Madoff, another American. We're going to have Justin America, the leader of the Americans, also involved. O-Dog. Woot woot. We're also going to have Loudy's man, Xavier Cross, and of course, Mr. VIP So High, LJ Cruz, is going to be there. Actually, LJ is a great guy. He would never touch the stuff, unlike Pinky Sanchez. But
I don't know what you're talking about. He was completely fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was absolutely okay.
Fine like wine.
So those are the 10. There's also three more surprise entrants, Dan.
I
don't know who it could be. Could it be Brady Hicks? Could it be Tank Tolan? Could it be Jake Bishop? Who knows, Dan?
And the thing is, there's been so many people that have gone through this company that are in and out. It could be a number of people. And I do have an HIAC exclusive that tomorrow at noon, the undercard will be announced on the fan page on Facebook.
Well, I'll tell you what else, Dan. There have been matches that have been announced already. It's on the event page. That's what I'm going off of. Hopefully this is accurate because somebody put it there. Somebody, I hope, from the board. I don't know. we have a tag team match. And it's going to be Smooth Aggression. Remember them, Dan?
Yes, I do remember Smooth Aggression.
Smooth Aggression, of course, that is Rob Prefontaine and Onslaught taking on the team of Nate Wallace, the newcomer. If you've gone to the Combine shows, unlike myself, if you've gone there, you have probably seen Nate Wallace. Well, he's teaming up with Mac Daddy Ron Starr for a tag team extravaganza.
Really?
Yes. So that's going to be interesting to see. I can't wait to see that. We're also going to have a Cruiserweight Grudge match. And that's Mr. VIP SoFly LJ Cruz taking on Xavier Cross, managed by the Financial Miracle Loudy. Now, of course, last month, Xavier Cross was successful in defeating LJ Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, successful if you have a manager holding your leg against the rope.
He was successful. What's it say in the record book, Dan? What's it say in the record book? Also in the building will be Matt Tremont with a message and many more. There's going to be many more people in that building.
You know what? You never know when that music hits who's coming through the curtain.
You never know. You never know, but Dan, I am telling you what, it's going to be an amazing night. That's PG-13, and that's part of the weekend bash. Now, after that, we're going to have an after party. Hopefully, we can get a few of the wrestlers to come out with us. If they don't, I frankly don't care. Because at 10 o'clock, I don't care. At 10 o'clock, it's the after party and UFC 165 viewing party. At this point, I'm going to say it's going to be at Lucky Strikes in Center City, Philadelphia. We'll go to Petco, take it over, boom, Center City. There you go. 8th and Market, baby. That's what I say.
Was this voted upon?
No, not at all.
Oh.
Not at all.
It has been decided, apparently. So
apparently. Okay.
It's the easiest thing to do. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go, Dan? I'm trying to get a free cover. What do you want to do? You want to pay $10 for crappy food? You tell me.
Whatever. I didn't know.
You tell me. Come on.
I just didn't know.
Lucky Strikes in... You can even bowl. If you don't
care. I know Lucky Strikes. The president Steve Callender was there. I know where Lucky Strike is.
Well, yeah, if you don't want to...
I didn't say I didn't. No, not at
go
all.
Bowling. Go
I'm
bowling.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I just didn't know. We're no fight here, sir. I'm not fighting you, especially on air. Stop yelling at me.
What you said was this voted upon. The hell with all of you.
Girls, Sunday. You're both pretty.
Yes. Sunday.
Thanks, Chris.
We're going to have breakfast with the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio crew. We're also going to have the one guy that's coming over for Brady's Combine. He's going to be there as well.
There's a dude coming for that?
Yeah.
Conclave that Combine.
Whatever. I'm so flustered and just flabbergasted. You got me off my game, you jerk. So
sorry.
That is going to be breakfast to remember. Location to be announced. If you want to vote on something, Dan, let's vote on that. Where do you want to go?
Wait, for what? Breakfast? Collingswood Diner's fine with me.
No, not the Collingswood Diner. I'm totally against that. I received horrible service.
Uh-oh.
Yes. So
hey, man, listen.
I don't go there anymore.
Listen, there's 100 places.
That's true. But I want to decide upon it before then. Also, we may go to the CD release party for the Mystery Men.
As long as we get somebody who won't drive near a cliff.
Well, I don't think he's involved at all, my friend.
Awesome.
I haven't heard from him. If he shows up, that is what it is.
I just like hearing that.
It is what it is. So that is the weekend bash, the get-together. Chris will be going home after breakfast. We're going to hope to... you know what? Rekindle is actually playing in Delaware later on in the day. It's crazy, Dan, the amount of crap that...
Wow, actually. I didn't... None.
How,
you know what?
Everything aligned.
Actually, you know what? I lied. I planned it. They're all doing it for us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So Rekindle, of course, former guests are also going to be involved with that. Brady is also having his conclave.
His conclave.
Yeah, so we're going to have conclave going on at the same time. A lot of intermixing and things going on.
I'll say Justin Merrick has a better Brady impression than I do.
Yeah, he does by miles.
Very good.
Hi, Miles. I don't feel like talking about WWE because, frankly, besides Daniel Bryan and Paul Heyman, it bores me to tears.
Didn't want to talk about Dusty Rhodes like you said you wanted to?
Not really.
All right, cool.
Oh, yeah, we're 2.5 hours in. I don't feel like talking about it anymore because next time you guys hear from us, it's going to be the Summit Symposium. And we're going to be joined by two of our biggest supporters. That's, of course, George Burr, William Olsen, and that's going to be – I think that's going to be fun.
That's pretty much it.
Well, it's going to be fun because the three of us are going to be in the same room.
Just think of it that way.
I would like to personal thank you to the CZW Stars for putting up an excellent show last Saturday.
I've seen the clip of Trima and Gacy. My goodness. Imagine if you – Never
mind. Stop it.
Never mind. But next week, we're going to have Scott Summers. He's, of course, coming all the way from Texas. He's going to be at On Point. He's taking on Chris Dickinson in the main event of On Point, All or Nothing. So Scott Summers making his way back to the East Coast. No promoter on the East Coast could get him here. There is one company that took that gamble, and it is On Point Wrestling.
I'm just saying, if Matt asked me to be somewhere, I'd be like, well, okay.
And we're also going to have Ryan Castellucci. We'll be making his return.
Castellucci.
He will be making his return here next week. He's also involved in All or Nothing On Point Wrestling, the big show coming up that weekend. We're also going to have a live pre-show. Referee Jimmy Dillon is confirmed to be the on-location guest host again. And I really enjoy working once in a blue moon with referee Jimmy Dillon.
Regularly, no way, but once in a blue moon's okay.
Well, sure. That was my point. You know, there's only so much Jimmy Dillon I can have in my life. Quite frankly. And Dan fell over again.
I died again.
Love. Now, so, of course, the next time you guys see us, hear us, or whatever, we're going to be at Ring of Honor coming up on Friday night, 7 o'clock. Well, you know what? I'm going to put up the audio updates like I did when we were up there for WrestleCon. So
I was actually about to ask you if you were going to do that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. So each night we will do audio updates.
And I will hit you up the moment I arrive in Jersey so we can figure out where to meet up later that night.
And I will promptly turn off my phone claim that it was bad reception in the... I'm kidding, Dan.
I'll keep my phone on, Dan.
I know you're not. And I have your phone number, too, so that's good. I have Harry's number, too, but it cost me $400 to text him.
No, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. So, of course, we'll be at Ring of Honor on Friday, and then Saturday, the Summit Symposium, Fan Appreciation, that will start. I can't wait for that. That's a really unique concept for us, and you never know. We might do it again if it's good. And if it's a train wreck, like tonight was, then you can certainly tell us never to do that again.
Actually, I think the Summit Symposium will just go fine.
It probably will. I mean,
they won't be at a laundromat somewhere.
They won't be at a laundromat, and it's not going to be 420.
No, not at all.
My God. I'll tell you off air.
You know, man. Anyway, you know what, man?
But anyway, we're going to go down. It's a downward spiral, Dan. That's how I've been feeling. So we'll see you.
We'll be fine. We'll see you.
Yeah, we'll see you on Saturday. Oh, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Dan, Omega, where can the fine people find you?
Follow me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
Dan?
DanLaw83.
What was up with the roughneck thing there?
I was trying to be goofy. I don't know. DanLaw83 is where you can find me.
And, of course, I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can find the website at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can also follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio, the Facebook, Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. And we are, of course, BlogTalkRadio.com/HellInACell, all one word. And, of course, we are on iTunes, Stitcher. We have some things available on Spreaker Radio. There's some things on YouTube. The Best of Dan is actually on YouTube and a few other things.
I've had two or three people comment on that.
But until Saturday for the Summit Symposium, you guys enjoy the ride down the downward spiral.